Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Guillermo.
Curly.
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 My second grade teacher used to always, Mrs. Kalish, she was so mean, but she would always sing, Katie, my beautiful Katie. There's some fucking song like that that I don't even remember. I know.
To you, she would sing it to you?
To me, when I entered the classroom. Guillermo, was there any childhood song where Guillermo is a name in the song?
Hell no. Remember Romper Room? I mean, you're much younger than I am, but there was a show called Romper Room, and the host in the beginning would look into this magical mirror and be like, "I see you, Tommy and Katie and John and Barbara and Ted and of course
Guillermo.
I was like, Guillermo." Never.
Like, how about in New York when you go into the trinket stores and it's
never.
Like you can get a little license plate or a little pencil like Katie's always on there.
Yes.
And it's always in a variation of spellings.
Yeah.
I might get K-A-T-I-E, which is how I spell it. There might be
right.
K-A-T-Y, whatever. But you are just straight up fucked.
No. They would be like, well, get a William. William is Guillermo. I'm like...
Is William Guillermo?
Well, William is like the English version of Guillermo. So my friend, you know, teachers and my friends that couldn't pronounce Guillermo would call me Willie. Like Willie was my name in school, like for years. W-I-L-L-I-E. Willie. Oh, God. Not Willie.
Can I call you that from now on?
Yes, please. I like it. I actually like it. I'm going to get Willie tatted on me.
I don't know if you can tell William, that I have a lot of extra kick and pep in my step today.
Do you? Why?
Well, because we have the most exciting guest for our listeners today.
Ugh.
I mean...
We're obsessed with her.
We're obsessed with her.
And she's obsessed with us,
yeah,
obviously.
I mean, clearly.
I mean...
And there is no scandal without this person.
No.
Without this person's performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, she changed my life in like every way because,
same.
Well, that's just because that's the person she is. I don't think anyone who has been lucky enough to spend time with the one and only number one of Scandal could say that she hadn't changed their life because that's just the magnitude of human that she is.
Yes.
And so she's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, people.
Yeah.
Like, okay, she's an activist. She's the best actress ever. She's a director. She's a producer. Yes. She's been on Broadway. She's been in movies. She's led the Democratic National Convention. She's ridiculously the accolades and the respect and all of that. But girl is fucking hilarious. Girl is,
that's one of my favorite things about Carrie is remember laughing with her on set. Like, laughing with her was so much fun. So much fun. And look, I wear my shirt that says queen because Carrie is the queen of
Scandal. She's our queen.
Scandal.
She's our queen of Scandal. And she also was the best number one.
Yes.
I honestly think this business has ever seen.
She spoiled. She spoiled all of the other TV shows that I was a regular on, which was like two others. But she spoiled that for us because the amount of, you know, class and positiveness and respect that I expected from my number ones after Scandal was like beyond anything that I ever got. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, you're no Kerry Washington.
No.
I mean, she was just
beyond. Also how I behaved on set. Like, I truly think there was, like, speeches made, you know, obviously you guys have heard on the podcast that, we knew that the end was coming our last season, so there were so many goodbyes, but they kept saying over and over again that everyone who was lucky enough to be on this set could go off into their other sets or their other jobs knowing that this type of family feel and behavior was even possible and that you could strive for that and, like,
existed,
you should try to have your cast and crew feel like this. But my God, this woman. Yeah. I mean, she didn't, every time she got nominated for an award, which was a lot, she would gather the entire crew. Do you remember this shit?
No.
She would gather the entire crew and cast and just like make the most beautiful speech about how
she did that all the time.
That it was about, she did it all the time, but how it was everyone, like that she was nothing without the rest of us, like the and the crew and the grip. She knew everyone's names, everyone's significant other's names, who was expecting children, who was purchasing homes, who needed help. Like it was.
Yeah. And she would also, Katie, do you remember she would, when we had background on set, whenever we had background, she would take a moment either before we started shooting or after to say, hey, I just want to take a minute to say thank you to you guys. Without you guys, we cannot have, you know, made Scandal. So thank you, background actors. You mean the world.
Oh, my God.
We
always did that.
And that's the first time I ever saw that on set, on a set.
I've never seen that either. Ever. Remember the lawn chair episode with,
Oh, my God,
With,
That's the first one that
Courtney B. Vance, the background actors have to be screaming horrific racial slurs because it's about a shooting and all this. And Carrie is like saying like, thank you so much for your performance. Like, I know this is not easy. I know this is hard. This is taking so much energy and it's hard, ugly things to say. And like, the girl is a leader. I mean, look, she's not going to run for president, but my good God, if she
I wish she would.
We
yes.
would be so lucky.
Yeah.
Because and there's not nothing only, she can't do.
Yeah. And not only do we have Kerry Washington on this episode, we have a plethora of other amazing guest actors. One of my favorites is Matt Lesher, who plays Jimmy Chambers. Of course, George Newbern is in this episode, who plays Charlie. Freaking Kate Burton, Dan Bukatinsky.
Oh, I mean, my God. Could go on we have and on Brendan and on. Hines as Gideon Wallace, although in this episode, he dies.
He dies. She did in this episode.
She and be also, dead.
Yo, Bellamy Young is listed as a guest star in this episode because she's not a regular yet on the show.
Bellamy did not become a regular until we got picked up for a second season. And by the way, we are talking today about episode 107 called Grant for the People, which aired on May 17th in 2012. It was written by
the Shonda Rhimes.
Our other queen. There were two queens to make Scandal, Shonda and Carrie. And it was directed by Roxanne Dawson. But at the time that we shot this episode, we didn't know we were going to get a second season.
No, no.
We had never aired an episode. Like, we shot it and no one had seen it. So we were still in this like perfect little bubble where we had no clue how the show was going to be received.
Listen, what I love about our show and about our cast is not 1 year of our seven seasons did I ever or any of us ever feel like, ah, cool, I'll see you guys next year. We're picked up. After every single season, we were like, oh, please, God, I hope we were fortunate enough to get picked up. Like, we never got cocky about this stuff.
Never.
We didn't take it for granted, no pun intended.
Oh, Grant for the People is the name of this episode.
Grant taken for granted for the people. But yeah, we were always just super humble and just like so grateful for this job.
But that's because shit rolls downhill.
Yes,
and
Carrie
never took the show, the job, our characters, the writing for granted. Before she comes on, which we're obviously tickled. Let me just tell you, fill in the rest, which is we said Brendan Hines is on this episode, but this be it because he died. We have Brian Lesher as Tom. Troy Winbush is Morris Elcott. Love him so much. Shannon Cochran is the Attorney General Sawyer. Mark Haralick is the Press Secretary Marvin Colgate.
You're fired, Marvin. Oh, that's
You're
my favorite.
Fired,
Cyrus
Marvin.
Fires him.
Get the fuck out.
The synopsis is Olivia and the team rally after Quinn finds Gideon Wallace dying in his apartment. Cyrus turns to Olivia with an announcement that affects Fitz's presidency.
And that's all we're giving you. It's a very short synopsis. What did you think of my acting in this episode?
Katie, I love your acting.
I hated it!
Katie, listen. Can you look, my first page of notes says Katie's performance in the scene where she walks in on Gideon and with the team is electric. It's guttural and raw. It's mesmerizing.
No,
all the
Willie.
Words.
Willie,
that's literally the stuff that
Willie,
I wrote.
Willie, what are you doing to me, Willie? Willie?
Yes. Oh my God, I love that I told you my friends called me Willie like for
Willie.
18 years of my life.
See,
oh,
we still have shit
God.
To talk about.
You
We've
were
known each other.
So, oh, so good in this episode, Katie. Like, truly.
I think
you thrive on, I think I'm the same too. It was such a, you had to play all this raw, like, tragedy, like death, and I think you thrive, and you just, oh, you were just so real.
I love a high stake
so
moment,
real.
People.
Yes,
I
yes,
love
yes.
a high stake moment.
And the shivering, you were shivering through your lines. Oh my God! If you guys have not seen this episode, you got to watch it.
This is
if
the
it's
last
not just for
finale episode of the first season, and Quinn walks in and sees that Giddy. She's like, "Oh, great bagel place down thing," and like, "I got your coffee, and we fucked last night," and like, "Woohoo!" And then it's like, "Oh no!" And the coffee falls on the ground, which I remember being on a Friday night, and they said you can only do this once.
Oh shit!
I had to nail that coffee drop slip out of my hand that spills
really?
Everywhere one time.
I love it. Love.
And then
house,
I see
guys.
Gideon just.
With a fucking scissors in his
fucking
neck.
Scissors in his neck that Billy Chambers put in there because he was really close. So a couple things I remember is A, that I had to nail that coffee drop once. And B, I had to reshoot pulling the scissors out of his neck.
No, why?
Do you remember
really?
That, Guillermo?
No.
We shot the first season and I get a call like months later saying you have to come in. And first of all, I was like, I'm fired. I'm 100%.
Always, every time we got that call, I'm fired.
Fired.
This is the end.
After not getting fired, they were like, you have to come back in and reshoot the Billy Chamber death scene. And I was like, are you kidding? That was like the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Like pulling the scissors out, screaming, crying, like trying to reach
Gideon
for the
Wallace.
Phone and realizing he's dead.
God.
Because the first angle that they, the way they shot it the first time around, it looked like I killed him.
Oh. Are you serious?
This is my remembering of it.
Wow.
We will be back with more after the break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
we can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, guys, without further ado,
we would like to present.
We're the stupidest. We would like to present the one, the only, the queen, the, yes. I'm top drawer.
She's top drawer.
She's top drawer. She's tops of everything. She is our friend. She is one of the loves of
our
lives. She is our colleague. She is, well, we would just for real go over a cliff for this person.
Yes. Right? And also the biggest goofball, just like us.
Yes. Here she is, the one and only, Carrie Washington!
Hello.
You look so beautiful. We're so happy to see you.
I tried to put on some concealer for you guys. I wanted
you're
to look pretty.
So gorgeous.
You look great.
I mean, I prefer the 5 a.m., 4:30 a.m. Monday morning in
version.
A makeup trailer of Carrie Washington that I miss.
That's
some
the
mornings
realest.
I do wake up and I'm yes. like, those were pretty special, insane times.
Yeah, I saw on social media you posted about being in hair and makeup with Guillermo by your side when you guys were doing some press.
Oh, yeah.
And it's true. It's just like, you know what? I was worried. I was worried that when we didn't have the hair and makeup trailer that we wouldn't all still be obsessed with each other and in love with each other, you know, because you have, like, we could just take for granted our friendships because they were scheduled. But,
yes.
But the fact that we're all still so madly in love with each other
yeah.
is it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were just saying before you came on that that comes from you.
Yeah. But
and I mean, look, we're all very special.
Yes.
But you were, how did you know how to be a number one like that? Like, for real. Do you think it was like you had worked on so many things and had sort of always taken note of how to be a leader, or it's just innately in you?
So I'm having a little bit of a weird, like, I feel like a proud mommy, because I feel like when I met you, Katie Lowe's, you were always asking me questions like this, but it wasn't for like a national podcast. It wasn't for like,
it wasn't
for the press. It wasn't.
Well, you didn't ask people questions.
It had a little bit less like Barbara Walters to it and more just like, I need to know.
Naivete.
Number one. Right?
Oh, like, yeah.
But you're so, it's so sweet because it's still the essence of you. Like, you have figured out a way to, you know, stay. Like, you are just a naturally curious,
yes,
very,
you know,
very
inquisitive, adventurous, ambitious person. So you have, it's like, but it's no longer that 5 a.m. version of like,
right.
how do I do this? It's like now this very formal presentational
yes.
version, which I
yes,
love. I'm so
yes,
proud
yes.
of you.
Thanks, yeah. Carrie.
So I have, I think, the number one in the whole history of number ones in the business. And for, do people know what it means to be a number one on the call sheet? Like, do we have to explain that?
Let's explain it.
So every character is assigned a number on the call sheet based on how important that character is perceived to be on the show and sometimes relative to the status of the actor playing them. And so if you're number one on the call sheet, you're like the most important character according to the writers and the producers. So I learned how to be a number one. I've had incredible number ones I've worked with through the years. Julia Stiles is an amazing number one.
Wow.
Forest Whitaker is an incredible number one. But hands down, the award for number one goes to Jamie Foxx. He's a beast.
Wow.
He not only like does his homework, is fully prepared, is always happy to be there, really passionate, knows everybody's name. he takes care of the background. He's grateful. He's humble. He works mm-hmm. really hard. He's all of those things. And, you know, I worked with him on Ray and then 10 years later on Django. And so I got to see, like, he it really is who he is. He's just like,
wow.
He's a leader. He's a true leader and a generous leader. And he loves his job. Like, he really, he gets that we're lucky to do what we do. And he never let a day go by without us all feeling that. And so I think really I just spent all those seasons on Scandal pretending to be Jamie Foxx.
We love it. We were talking earlier, Carrie, about how you, either before we shot a scene or after, you would take a moment to address the background actors. And just be like, thank you guys so much for being here. We could not have done this scene without you guys. Just the respect you showed background actors. And for someone who started in background work, I did a ton of background work.
What?
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that.
I was in Green Card. I did background work on student films, even.
Oh, my God. Like, I was a hardcore. So much.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then little
that.
By little. But, you know, it's rare that the lead actor or even producers or directors – you know, unfortunately treat background actors with any sort of, you know, I mean, you know.
Like furniture.
Exactly. Yes, yes. But
and
you were the first
person.
They're
so important to scenes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Can you imagine? If we didn't have those background actors in the White House, we're just like a bunch of idiots in hallways. Like,
yeah, it's like so dumb. It's like you're making such pretend. Yeah. Yes.
And how many times have you watched something where the background totally ruins the scene?
Oh my
where
God.
You're like, I don't believe any of those people are at a party. Or I don't believe any of those people are, you know, walking, like background looking at the camera. Background.
Yeah.
They're so vital to the verisimilitude.
Yes. And you could tell on our show, you could tell on Scandal that they're invested in what they're doing.
Today, just to jog your memory, is about episode 107, which is like, who is Quinn Perkins? Quinn pulls the scissors out of Gideon's throat.
Yeah.
And there's the scene where everyone's deciding.
I'll
jog your memory. Everyone's like, they clean it up?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you're like, we clean it up. But it was the example of an OPA. It wasn't so much about character development. Maybe it was for other people, but not for me. As much as it was like an ensemble theater piece of like, do not drop your line.
Yeah,
like,
especially
this
episode.
This is pace.
Yeah. Yes.
This is like everyone has got one line, two lines, like, and it was keeping the ball up.
Is this the episode where we got together on the weekend to rehearse it?
Yes.
This scene is the one I'm talking about.
I forgot about that.
Because it was a play.
It was a play. We all thought it was a one-act play. Yeah. And I remember Betsy Beers being like, you guys did what? Our producer being like, we've never heard of that. That's bananas. Yeah. But it was a play. It was a one-act play. And we were a bunch of theater kids who had been lucky enough to find ourselves on some screens. And so we got up together on our own to rehearse. I think back to that and just think we were so lucky that none of us had done a ton of primetime network television show to know that we weren't supposed to do that. We're so lucky what we didn't know. Because I think before Scandal, the job I'd had before Scandal was a movie,
you were a movie star before Scandal. I wanted to ask you that. Why TV?
I originated a role in David Mamet's play Race.
That's right.
And to
this day,
I feel like one of the reasons why God put me in that play was to figure out how to do that Mamet thing, like how to have rhythm, how to say the word as written no matter what, how to get out of the way of the language, because I felt like I brought so much of that with me to Scandal.
The work ethic that you had on Scandal was, to me, and I'm not one, but was like, like being an Olympic athlete, which is what you are when you do Broadway. Like when you do a race or you do a Scandal and you're a number one, like you are a machine. You can't get sick. Yeah. You can't not know your lines. Yeah. Like it's so everyone is,
there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's nothing
Carrie,
like it.
Carrie, me and Katie were talking about earlier and in other episodes that we've done how, you know, we'd see you in the hair and makeup trailer, you'd be on set, but you were always running lines. And Katie brought up, you were running lines sometimes for the next scene.
Oh, yeah.
And they weren't just
for the
lines.
Next day.
They were like monologues. You'd be like, let's go to the next scene. Let's go to tomorrow's scene. Like, it was like, you had to
constantly.
Do that shit nonstop.
I know. Every job I've had since Scandal, when somebody comes up to me on a set and says, like, I'm really sorry. I know it's a lot today. I laugh.
This is nothing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is not a lot.
When you got the Scandal script, why television? Why this script? Why this part? And how did you get it?
So everybody knew about this script. Like every black woman in Hollywood between the ages of like 9 to 99 auditioned for this role. Everybody wanted it. We knew it was like a historic once in a lifetime kind of opportunity. I heard about it through the grapevine. My manager, who you both know, Kathy, called me. She was like, there's this new Shonda Rhimes show. It stars a black woman. We feel like you're really right for it. But Shonda, I think Shonda said I was too young because the character was written to be in their 40s, which I'm in my 40s now. Right. So at the time, it was like, I might be too young for it. But it felt, when I read it, I literally did that thing, which sounds so cliche, but I did that thing where I threw it across the room at some point because I was like, this was written for me. Like nobody else should be playing this role. But yes. Me.
Agreed.
But I also knew that like there were 40 other actresses who felt exactly the same way.
Right.
And like really amazing actresses who I admire and love and peers of mine and people I looked up to. And we all just read. We all just, you know, read. And at first I met with Shonda actually because I had done a bunch of movies. And so my team had negotiated a meeting first. So I went in and I remember getting off the elevator and seeing this huge sign that said Shondaland. And I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go.
Wow. You're like, this seems a lot.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I've signed up to like give up my citizenship and move to somebody's land. And I was nervous. I was like, gosh, I don't know. I had done a couple arcs on television, but I had obviously never been in a series. I'd done two other pilots that I got fired from.
Really?
Yes. But so I met with Shonda.
For all the actors listening, my God, is that like a hopeful?
Yeah, the two other pilots I did before Scandal, I was fired. Damn. And both shows.
Why? Because you were too talented or too beautiful?
No, both shows went, but they replaced me.
They recast you. Damn. Yeah.
You know why? Probably because they knew you were a star. And you were stealing it from the rest.
No, it was a little bit, and Guillermo, I know, will identify with this. One of them was like they wanted it to be a more like girl from the hood version of the character. And I was like, I just don't see it that way. And they were like, well, then you don't
have
to be in this.
That's what we want. Yeah. Wow.
Yes, exactly. But the other one, I'm not really sure what happened. But yeah, so I met with Shonda. I sat down and I loved her immediately. I just loved her immediately. I was like, oh, she's so lovely. And Betsy was so lovely. And she said to me, you know, if this goes well, this could be like a 7-year commitment. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I just thought,
ain't no way that's going to happen.
What are the odds of that? This show's barely getting on the air with the black woman as a lead. Like, but let's take it one day at a time.
Slow down.
Yeah, exactly. But I fell in love with her. And then, of course, I was like, I'll read 100 times if you want me to. And then I did read about 100 times. My friend Colleen Basis was my acting coach for the audition. She and I went to college together. Colleen's the best. She's still an acting coach, so people seek her out if you're looking. And so I got to the final screen test. I think it was down to me and two or three other actresses. But I remember like the intensity around it because we all knew these opportunities were few and far between. Wow. And when I got the call that it was mine, I felt like the luckiest human being on the planet. Just so blessed. I was, I felt so lucky.
You know, when I knew it was going to be, well, I didn't know it was going to be a hit until the middle of second season when we were out in public and all of a sudden women were throwing themselves at Tony Goldwyn. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? But before that, your dad, Earl, something like, I know when I'm making this up in my head, but it was something like I said Save the Last Dance was going to be the biggest thing ever. And I'm saying it right here, right now. Scandal is going to be huge. Earl's got the crystal ball.
He knows. Yeah. And by the way, like, you know, my dad, it's so funny because my dad is such a dreamer. He's like, he really sees beyond the possibilities of what's real. And so like that, you know, he gave me permission to dream big in my life. You know, I always feel like my mother's the one who taught me how to be practical and work ethic. But my dad gave me that ability to be the big dreamer. And he saw the potential of the show from the beginning, which I'm so grateful for.
And he would, whenever we would encounter your parents, they were the biggest fans of the show. I mean, I'll say it right here with you guys. Your dad was like, and your mom were like, we love Huck.
So, I know.
Like, they would pull me aside
yes.
and give me so much love. And I was like, Oh my God. But it was sincere and honest. Yes. It wasn't like, you know, like, oh, it's Carrie's parents saying, yeah, we love the show. You were great on it. They were truly like, no, sit down for a second with me and let's talk about Huck. Because he's special.
I'll never forget them walking around with their Scandal like raincoats.
Yes, they still wear them.
Their set jackets.
They still wear them. You know, and my dad has a bit of an obsession with Scott Foley. I think I've told you guys this story, but he's in love. My father's in love. One day we were in the car. My parents were visiting set, as always. And I was driving them home from set in my little green Prius. And my dad,
I remember you in that Prius.
Right? And my dad, super quiet on the ride. And all of a sudden he says, you know what? I think that it was Scott Foley's nose that Michael Jackson was going for.
Oh, how random. I love it.
But if Scott Foley.
I thought your dad thinks about that.
Like Scott Foley has the epitome perfect of like a gorgeous nose. Anglican male.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
That like if the richest, you know, talented pop star in the world was like, I could pick any nose in the world, it would be Scott Foley's. And I was like, Dad, you're obsessing about Scott Foley's nose on the way home. So funny.
We'll be right back, guys.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Wait, in 107 is the episode God, where Carrie it. Found out that Guillermo Diaz liked boys.
Always the is last this the episode? Yeah.
This episode, yes. I'll never forget yes. it because she went the whole first season not knowing.
I hate that. I hate that because I don't want you to have one moment of feeling just, like, well, why didn't
I'm
you tell me?
I'm always the
like,
last to know. No, I'm just such, you know what it is? Because I put my head in the sand with the work. I'm just like, so in the work, and I wasn't as into the gossip, which I also was a little strategic because I was like, I don't want to be in the gossip. I kind of want to be Switzerland right. when it comes
of
to the
course,
cast.
Of course.
So, but I remember turning to you and saying like, so Guillermo, do you have a girlfriend?
And I was like, kind of. She is sassy. I don't remember what I said.
I was like, he's so sexy and he's so funny and he's so smart and I'm taken. But boy, I want to set him up if he's not with somebody. He's so hot.
Oh my God.
You know what though, Guillermo? Also, you were more quiet first season. I mean, it's not Carrie was not, you know, strategically, I think super, that was a great plan. Yeah. But Guillermo also wasn't. Like, the only reason I knew was because I was like, where do you live? And he was like, close to the parade. And I was like, what parade are you fucking talking about?
The St. Patrick's Day parade?
That's and I was so like, weird that that's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, I'll never forget it.
Was that your sneaky way of coming out, do you think?
Well, he was like, I live by Santa Monica. Know. Like, you know, it's great. Like, that's like, I... he either said right by the parade or just like go to the parade. And I was like, what parade are we talking about?
But also, you guys got to remember, I was born in the 80s. Like I was, you know, a teenager and in my 20s during a time where this shit wasn't like, people were like, oh, great. Let's have you and your boyfriend over. Like I was still very like guarded and like, oh, I don't know if this is going to change perceptions.
If I'll be able to play all the roles, if people know.
Yes. So all
you've actually thought it been was such a trailblazer in that way, Guillermo. You have been such a trailblazer
so much.
Like being out, letting people not, and also like just saying, actually, now that I think about it, I think that you were really inspiring for me in terms of like when I got to a place where I was like, okay, I'm not going to deny my personal life, but I also don't need to plaster it everywhere. Like you were just, I'm living my life for me. I'm in my truth for me. I'm not going to hide who I am. And I'm still going to play all the roles. Like I'm going to be with women. I'm going to be with men. I'm going to be all of who I am. And as an artist, and also be in my truth as a human. So admirable.
That means so much,
Guillermo,
Carrie.
I remember running home and being like, oh, is he out publicly? Because even at the beginning of Scandal, I feel like actors, I think even a lot has changed in the last 10 years. Like
100%.
And I hope it continues to do so. But I can remember even the beginning of Scandal, me being like, I don't know if he's like out publicly, because I think that that's like a choice that actors make and whether or not they do talk about it or don't. And it's like a whole fucking thing. Yeah. And I remember going home and being like, oh no, he's like really like out publicly. He's been in like gay magazines and like all this stuff.
I remember the time I had done a movie called Stonewall about the Stonewall riots in 1969. And I was the lead. I was a drag queen in it. And I remember my managers saying, you have to make a choice. Are you, you're going to be doing a lot of press. Are you going to say you're gay?
Oh,
we think you shouldn't say you're gay.
Just,
or are you going to say you're straight? You know what I mean? And I had to make it. And I was like, there's no way I'm freaking lying. And from that point on, I was like, I don't care. Like, this is who I am. If people don't want to work with me, then fine. Then I don't want to work with them either. But I was like, I cannot be that person who's like
living a lie.
Oh, there's no way. I'm too anxious for that shit. I was like, I'm not doing this.
When I'm going back and watching these episodes, which honestly, Carrie, you like not being my friend and one of the great loves of my life, I cannot believe the acting you did in this part. Do you remember like before the pilot building all these things like her walk and her like neck tilt of like, and I just can't believe the person you built in your preparation for her. Did you coach with someone, build her from the outside in? Was it your fitting with Lynn Paolo? Like how, or did she, was it a slow burn? Like how did she come to be?
No, it was actually really interesting. I remember working with Colleen on the audition, and I felt like, you know, a lot of times when you are just meeting material, for me, the first work for that first hour was like, what do I know about this? Where do I connect with her? How do I reveal myself in this, right? Like, how do I find the places where she and I meet and then let the rest of it kind of fall away? So it was a lot of bringing myself to it. But also that point in my career, I had developed sort of red carpet Carrie, who was a version of me, but it was like the version of me that I was learning to cultivate that wore fancy outfits and could go to all these premieres of all these movies I was in. And so she was like a larger than life version of me who stood differently and walked differently. And in a lot of ways, Olivia Pope was like, her presentation of self in the world was a little bit red carpet Carrie. And then her inner messy emotional life was more my inner messy emotional life. So that was kind of the job in the pilot. But then I remember meeting with Susan Batson again. I trained with Susan Batson and with Colleen Barry. Barry at the time, maybe. No, bassist. Her married name is bassist. But training with both of them for the audition. And I remember saying to Susan after I got it, how do I do this for all these episodes now? Because I don't want to just be myself on TV. Like I have to figure out how to be specific about where she ends and I begin. I felt like I didn't have to be that specific in the pilot. I was willing to be really messy about that. But I was like, if I don't start to have some delineation about where she ends and I begin.
10 months of the year you're being... Like,
then,
that's
then
a mess.
How do I go back to myself? You know, how do I return to who I am? So the clothes helped a lot. The shoes. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but I would roll up on set at crew call and be in sweatpants. But I always had to
have
my shoes
on
for
heels.
Every rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
You never, ever, ever. First of all, opposite. I'm a hack. I didn't wear my shoes as long as humanly possible, which actually, you know what? No, fuck that. I'm not a hack. I've heard that Viola Davis does all of her best scenes barefoot or in Uggs because her feet hurt.
There's no way
so
I would be able to do that either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Carrie and Olivia Pope was like, I never saw you in rehearsal without your shoes on.
No, I felt like they were really important for how to stand and how to walk. Mm-hmm. And then I figured out how to be her barefoot in my apartment. But I always had to come. If I was going to be in shoes in the scene, I had to be in her shoes. Otherwise, I wouldn't know where in the room I would be. I just think that was sort of a real way into her. And all the costumes were a huge part of it. Lynn Paolo, because I felt like that was her armor, the way, you know, her expertise was storytelling and narrative and how people present in the world. So I knew that how she presented in the world had to be really specific, really on point, elegant, smart. All that stuff really, 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 really helped. And then giving over to the language, you know, in that like David Mamet way and that Shonda Rhimes way, like just giving over to the language. She was there. She was in the words. I don't speak like that, but she's in the words.
Yeah. Right. And when something is written really well, it flows out of your mouth so easily. It's so satisfying. It's like delicious to say the words.
Right?
This chemistry between you and Tony Goldwyn is the stupidest shit I have ever seen in my life. Like, I'm so wildly uncomfortable. I can't believe how good it is. I can't believe how steamy it is. I love you both as people and individuals. I can't even believe what was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, in the pilot, you guys make out in the corner beneath like a curtain and then in to get away from the cameras. And then in this episode, the finale, again, you look up and you have a kiss and he says to jog your memory, like, if I resign or if I get arrested, you know, whatever, for sleeping with Amanda Tanner or whatever, at least I can be a normal person. I can be with you. And you like kiss, God. But I also in season two, which Guillermo and I were ahead, you know, because we're such prepared people and learn from our best number one. We just watched the episode. I also just watched the episode where you and he were like screwing in the break room that has all the cords,
with all those lights and cords.
I remember the green. I was wearing a green.
Yes. The christening. Yeah. It was your christening outfit. It was sort of like 1960s.
Yes, it was very beautiful. Jackie O.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell me about this chemistry thing. Tell me about you and Tony. Did you ever talk about it or were you just like, it's bigger than both of us and thank God because it made everyone want to watch the show?
It's such a good question. I don't think we talked about it because I don't think we knew until audiences were watching it. We were just like two actors doing our job. It wasn't like, the first time, no, you know what? I need to be honest. That is how we felt on set. But when we camera tested, when we did hair and makeup tests for the show.
You camera tested?
We did hair and makeup tests for the show.
Yeah, we all did.
I remember that.
I remember like doing the thing, you walk on camera, you're in the clothes and with the hair. And then Tony comes in and we're walking together. And I remember Shonda and Betsy freaking out at the monitors. And I was like, what's happening? And they were like, you guys are just magic together. And we were like, okay. So we had this sense, but I knew Tony. So Tony and I had both done a lot of work with this organization called the Creative Coalition, which is a political advocacy organization, ironically. And he was co-president at the time. And so I had never worked with Tony as an actor, but our interactions as human beings had been walking up and down the halls of Congress and at the White House. Talking to senators and congresspeople about arts funding and arts for the humanity and funding for the humanities. And so we had this like weirdly DC context for each other. And we had a great deal of respect for each other as like thinking human beings and as politically minded individuals.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember saying to Shonda, like, who's going to be the president on the show? Like, who's going to be the president? And I learned at some like CAA, it was either their Oscar party or their Emmy party. And Tony's manager was there and he came up to me and he was like, Tony's doing it. And I was like, yes. Just because I knew how smart he was and he felt, and Shonda said to me, she felt like he was the right person because he had directed at Grey's early on. And she knew that whoever was going to play the president was somebody who had to have executive power, like somebody who felt like they could tell people what to do. Like they could boss people around and have like, you know, real intelligence and leadership. And she had seen that in him as a director. So I had a lot of respect for him. I loved him already as a person. And we just hoped it worked. We hoped it worked.
And you can't really plan that stuff, right? I mean, you can't plan that your chemistry is going to work on camera, really.
No, necessarily, but I will say for me, I'm a little bit of a chemistry slut. Like, I am. I do.
I don't want to say it, but you're good at it.
I never worry about having chemistry with. The only time I can't have chemistry with an actor is if that actor has decided that they don't want to have chemistry with me. And I've been in those situations, like walking into an audition where it's like down to me and one other girl, and the lead actor has clearly wants the other girl. And I'm like, well, I'm acting the cardboard. Like,
yeah.
Here's when I don't have chemistry. If I don't like their smell.
Oh, shit.
Like, I'm just such a pheromone person.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I have been teamed up. Like, I've had so many love interests on different things. And sometimes I'm just like, ew. Like, I don't like this.
So
like, and I am acting.
And you're repelled,
like,
right?
I'm
you're
just, like acting so much because I have what I call the ick for, like, the person. Like, I just, like, have this ick. Like, I don't want to. But then I'm like, okay, it's a paycheck. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that we would have to ask.
Oh, sorry.
Tony.
You said chemistry slut. What does that mean?
It means like that when it comes to finding ways to love a character, for me to feel like my character really loves or likes another character, I don't find that hard. And I don't know if that's the Aquarius in me that like, I just really like people and I see the good in people. And I like I like a lot of different kinds of people. And I don't usually have a hard time. In the history of Scandal, there's maybe been one actor where I was like,
oh, shit. Let's not bring
this hard. We want
I have
names.
Guesses. I've got guesses.
But most of the love interests are like, you know, they're guys that I get along with. And so you're like, I can figure this out. So, like, it's sort of this idea of like, first, there's somebody for everybody. Everybody's lovable in some way. Yeah. Can you look for the thing that's like, that person's not for me, right? Like, not everybody's for me in my real life.
No, but for
I'm
their character, you can fall in love with something in them that you can
get to. And also, your chemistry was not only great with love interest people, but it was also great with like Quinn and with Huck
and
with Abby
so
and with Harrison.
Oh my God, Abby, this friendship.
Yeah.
And also Scott Foley, right? Like that,
oh
like the
my
fact that it was
God.
So, are you team Fitz or, you know, like that.
Olake or Olin.
Yeah, that's very, I think that also, both of those guys, by the way, are I'm so lucky to have been able to have those two guys as love interest because they're both so
they're the best dudes.
But that's such a great example, right? Because they're also so different. Like so Scott Foley and Tony Goldwyn, you could not find.
Oh, completely different.
So different. But I was like, I'll figure this out with these guys and their characters. I will say, and we should ask Tony's permission before whether this should stay in or not. But one of the amazing things that happened, though, was I think it was during season two. Tony said something. We were in like one of our canoodling bedroom scenes in Olivia Pope's bed.
I can't believe it.
And he said something. We were talking about like life and love and marriage, just like talking. And he said something that I said, oh, that's so interesting because my therapist said something like that to me last week. And he looked at me and he said, who's your therapist?
No.
And we found out that we had the same shrink.
No.
Forget.
My God.
For years.
Oh my God.
The odds of that.
He wasn't currently seeing this person, I still was. And
did you mention it to the therapist?
Yes. My therapist was like, yeah, I know. Like, he was like, this is not a surprise to me.
Wow.
But of course, he wasn't going to say anything.
No, he couldn't have told me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't that great? And it also helped to explain
remarkable.
So much because I felt like, you know, Tony and I had such great boundaries with each other. Like, we were able to be in this, like, incredibly romantic space. But our boundaries as adult, as, like, responsible human beings were very clear. I have the ultimate respect for his wife. He has the ultimate respect for my husband. Like, there was never any, despite the tabloids, there was never any messy between he and I. We were, like, really responsible, accountable grown-ups, you know, respectful of each other and each other's lives while still like taking those deep risks as actors.
And also,
to be
what
in that
a
space.
Scary thing to be. Like, most people, if you get paired up as a love interest in a movie or something, like the thing is over in 3 months or whatever. But for you to have a love interest that's 7 years long.
Yeah.
That's insane.
After
like,
my
that's
husband.
Like, insane.
After my husband, Tony Goldwyn is the person in my life who I've made out the longest with after Nazi.
Fucking
because
crazy.
Any other boyfriend I was with before
was that
my husband,
7 years?
I was with like 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
Right, so this right. Tony Goldwyn, after Nazi, Tony Goldwyn's the guy that I, you know, kissed the most. It's
that
so weird.
My God.
So weird. Wild.
So weird. So weird.
This is the last episode in this season and the last episode, I guess, of season one of Unpacking the Toolbox. That's the name of this podcast.
Yeah.
Unpacking the Toolbox. Yes. That's so cute because of you guys in your toolbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cute.
There's this, like, I think the winning scene of this episode is, so we had mentioned you and Fitz sort of kiss and you're like, you look up and you're like, cameras. And he's like, I don't give a shit. And you guys kiss anyway.
So romantic.
Because like, guess what? Mm-hmm. If I go to jail or I resign, I can be whoever I want to be and I can marry you. And then you see Olivia sort of make the decision like, oh, hell no, this isn't going to happen. So you go to Melly and you two have Bellamy's like first big scene. At this time, Bellamy is not a
serious. She's just a guest star.
Yeah, exactly.
And the scene is like, you didn't do your job.
You let that girl get in his pants.
You let that girl, Amanda Tanner, get in his pants. Yeah. I'm working my fucking ass off as the face and the wife and this, that, and the other thing. And you fucked up. You stopped being his mistress. And you let him get away. And this is all your fault that he wants to resign.
Oof.
And this is really where we see Bellamy step into Melly. And from that scene, you go and arrange a, with Fitz not even having a say in it, you arrange a interview on national television where she says, that was me on the sex tape.
Right. That Melly was the voice on the tape.
Saying, take off your clothes. And so I'm so embarrassed. This is how Olivia and her planned together, working together to spin it, which is we're seeing the beginning of how we ended the series with you and Melly together.
You guys, but it's starting here now. This is so amazing that you're doing this. It's so crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. So you two start working together and be this political animal where you decide that Fitz is not resigning. It was you on the sex tape, but we're going to lie and say it was Melly on the sex tape. And then she's going to fake being pregnant. So by the end of this series, the two of them have to go off quickly and like have sex and make a baby. But it's the beginning of the Melly Olivia. Like when they work together, it's like, holy shit.
And we learned that Olivia's like, oh, hell no, I don't want to settle down and be normal. Mm. I mean, one of your memorable lines is being normal is overrated in this episode. It's the first time you see Olivia and you're like, oh, wow. She, and another memorable line in this episode is when Cyrus says, some men aren't meant to be happy, they're meant to be great.
Mm.
And I think that sort of connected to Olivia as well, because I think she felt that way too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She says, don't go be the man I voted for.
Yes.
But all of us are like, you mean the man that you rigged the election for? But okay.
Well, I voted for him and rigged the election. Those are not usually exclusive.
Both are true.
But the fact that you chose not to settle down with Fitz, that Olivia chose not to go that route, so, I mean, speaks volumes to who Olivia was, right? She knew her life was beyond that. Like, she didn't want that. She was like, oh, wait a minute, wait. No. I'm good. I'm good being the most powerful woman in DC right now.
Yeah.
So good.
So wild.
The show figured out what it was while it was happening. Like, it wasn't predestined that Melly would be Melly, you know? So can you talk to us quickly about, like, when you realized that so much of this show was going to be relationships between you and Jake and Fitz, and that Melly was going to be like a very big part of that?
Yeah, it's so hard. I don't remember having a lot of perspective about what the show is about while we were doing it. It was like scene to scene, moment to moment. Like, we were just on this, I mean, we were on this rocket ship. I remember Josh Molina seeing the second episode during lunch, the second or third episode during lunch while we were filming in that like room we would sometimes get upstairs where we had table reads.
Yeah.
And he turned to me and he was like, you can carry a show. And like coming from Josh Molina, who was like, I watched all through college on West Wing, was like obsessed with West Wing.
And you went to GW, like you're so political. That was the show.
Yes, it was the show. I had like Colleen and our friend Jody. We used to get together and cook recipes from the Moosewood cookbook and watch West Wing every week. So when he said that, I was like, I just remember being like, oh my God. I hope he's right. And then I remember you also, because I didn't know, I had mostly done movies, but I remember sitting in the hair and makeup trailer and Katie, you were like, episode 3. And I was like, what about it? And you were like, the script is really good. And I was like, okay. You were like, well, that's when you know if you have a show or not. And I was like, oh, really?
Oh, God.
Check Katie out.
Yeah.
Check you out, Katie.
Well, it's easy to make two.
You were like, things fall apart at episode 3.
Yeah.
You're like, episode three is when you really have to know whether you can make a show. And I was like, oh, well, that's exciting because I think this episode's pretty good. I just was so green, you guys. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything.
No, you're
anything.
All calling us to do backstories. Like, I don't think anyone does that in TV pilots.
But what I mean is, like, movies, the business of it. The business of it, I was so green about. And, like, the TV of it, I was so green about. So I wasn't green as an actor. Like, as an actor, I was so invested and felt like I was just, like, you know, the hog in mud, like, so it doing everything I wanted to be doing, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what the marketing meant. It was moment to moment. I just wanted us to be able to keep doing it.
Yeah. And it speaks, it's like, it's about the work, right? It sounds like sort of corny and cliche, but it's about the work. If the work is good, then everything else that we have no control over, right, that'll either fall into place or it won't. And it did for Scandal, you know.
Yes. And what I'm really proud of sitting here right now in this moment is also that it was about the process and the people, because I remember so much more about your first house that you bought, Katie. I remember so much more about, Guillermo, your conversations about going back home in New York and what that was like. And like the reveal of the clothing in the Saks windows and your parents waving at us through the windows,
oh,
Guillermo.
My God. Oh, I'll never forget it.
These little details I remember more than any episode of the show we ever shot, because I was so invested in chills. You as people. I was invested in our, like, we were on this rocket ship and we couldn't control, like, Mars and the comets and the stars and, like, we didn't, but on that ship we had each other, and I'm really proud of how we did that.
It really all stemmed from you, Carrie. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And the other thing about all of this pressure and everything about being the first Black woman in 40 years to be on a show, I remember for one second, like, I don't know if you ever felt this, or maybe I put this in my head that you said this, or I remember you being like, this has to succeed. Like, what would have happened had it not?
Yeah, I mean, I knew if we failed, it would be another 40 years. But instead, because we didn't fail, we got to have How to Get Away, and we got to have Priyanka Chopra and her show. And we got to have all these women of color leading network shows. Yeah. Station 19, like, we got to have this world where women of color were number ones on the call sheet, and it was no longer a big quote-unquote risk. Anyway, I love you guys so much.
I can't tell you how fun this first season of Unpacking the Toolbox has been.
Oh, such a freaking blast, dude.
It's been such a blast.
I hope we get to do, like, listen, like, every single season. I hope we do all seven seasons on this.
And that's up to you all listening.
Unpacking the Toolbox. Yeah.
Like, you guys like it? Tell your friends.
And
subscribe.
We'll give you more.
Like, we'll bring you more behind the scenes hot goss from Scandal. We're going to bring all the guests.
More superstars.
That's
up
right.
In this piece.
Hopefully, the next episode up is 201 White Hats Off.
Yes.
The premiere of the second season. But come on, you guys, give me a fucking break. The first season, we brought to you Shonda Rhimes. We brought to you Toni Golden. We brought to you Liza Wheel. We brought to you Kerry Washington. So stick with us.
Please.
Tell your friends. This is, and also because, as per usual, I just want to hang out.
We just want to hang out with each other.
Willie Diaz all the time.
Oh, my God. I love you so much. Hi, everyone. This is Willie Diaz signing off.
Goodbye, gladiators.
Bye, gladiators.
We love you. Peace.
Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
Hey. There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.